Hey, this is Ethan McNeil. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. Me and my brother-in-law, Trent Keith, sell real estate together here in Indiana. If you enjoy our podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave us a review and subscribe to our channel after you finish listening. Thanks.
Instagrammers, and we're working on Facebook right now. This is Trent Keith and Ethan McNeil. Back. Of detailed information. We are live on both.
We are.
All right. Glad to see everyone. And we will get rolling into our show this week.
Yeah.
We've got all kinds of information. Just a little bit on news stories. We got a lot of questions, highlighted listings, quotes for the day. We are ready to roll.
I better not keep my elbows on there. I think I shake the table too much.
Oh, yeah. It's true. You make us look like we're moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are ready to go. And if you are with us, comment, and we will answer your questions live if we know the answer to them.
We'll answer them even if we don't, but
yeah,
it'll be a better answer if we
know. If we know it.
All right, news stories. What's your news stories for today?
All right, I just had the one. Did you not have any?
No, I was kind of a little lax on news stories today.
All right. Well, as you guys know, there's probably, most of you know, there's no local fair. I don't think there's a Monroe County Fair, is there?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I know there's no Owen County Fair. And the state fair has also been canceled. So in lieu of that, we have created a contest for you guys to help you get out. And, you know, normally at the fair, you have all those drawings that you can win stuff. And we've created our own little drawing, our own little contest for you. And you can win a two-person treated swing or some gift cards from our office. So you've got 1 month to compete in that contest.
Get your name in the drawing.
Yep.
See if you're going to win.
That's right. There's a Facebook post about it on our Facebook page or Instagram. And you can also, there's a way to come out to our office and a flyer that tells you how to get all kinds of extra entries. And we've actually had quite a few people already come out here and follow the instructions. So if you really want the swing, you're probably going to need to come out here to our office and do that. Get your extra names in that drawing.
There you go.
So anyway, that's our news story.
All right. So, we're ready for questions of the day. The first question, are you going to read it or am I going to read the first
question? I'll ask you the question and then you can answer
it. Oh, we're going to do it different this time.
I don't care. You can read the question and answer it.
Okay, here we go. What special steps do I need to take if a house is in the floodplain? Hmm. Well, maybe buy a boat. Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about. No. If it's in a floodplain, what do you need to do? The first thing is check how much insurance is for flood insurance. Because if you buy a home in a floodplain, for one, if you're borrowing the money, you're required to have flood insurance. Mm-hmm. And two, if you're paying cash, I would highly recommend flood insurance. Because if it does flood, it will more than likely be a little expensive to get it back to where it was. So flood insurance would be number one. Check on that. Hey, I like that. Number two would be determine what area you want to be in exactly. If it's the area you want to be in and it's still in the floodplain, then that can be okay. But you definitely want to make sure that you're not overpaying for a piece of property in the floodplain also. When a property is in the floodplain, it usually doesn't appraise for as much as when it's not. So just because you see a house online and it looks like a really good deal because mm-hmm. you see all the inside pictures and everything and you think, wow, that's cheap. I can buy that. If it's in the floodplain, there's a reason for that. It's definitely going to appraise for less. So check out the comps. Make sure that it's in the price range it needs to be. It's in the location you want it to be. And that you can afford the flood insurance on the property before you go any further, before you make an offer or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So you got anything else you want to add with that one?
No, I think flood insurance is the number one thing. It can be, number one, it can be expensive. So yeah, make sure it's going to fit into your budget. So that's going to be another monthly thing that you're going to have to pay for.
Yep, that's right. There we go. Poor connection again on
Instagram.
Instagram.
It's reconnecting. Maybe we should move closer to a window for it. Okay, the next question. Instagram's missing out, but Facebook's right here. Does a metal roof add more value to a house than a shingle roof? That's a good question. I would say not necessarily. It depends on when buyers are coming to your house, wanting to buy your house. They are really just concerned about how new is the roof. If it's a new metal roof or a new shingle roof, they're gonna really appreciate that. If it's an old metal roof and an old shingle roof, then they're gonna be concerned about it. So as far as adding value, the only maybe stipulation I would see in that is maybe if you get like a copper metal roof, or you get a maybe special metal roof. I know they make like shingle metal roofs, metal roofs that look like tile, all kinds of different things like that. So if you get something that's more aesthetic like that, then it might add some value. But for the most part, people just want to see that that roof's going to last for 30 years or 20 years or however long. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, the only other thing I would recommend is check with your insurance company. I know it's better now than it used to be, but at one point, certain insurance companies would not cover metal roof. So check with your insurance companies and make sure that they are good with a metal roof. And then before you'd put in an offer, because you don't want to get in a place where you like the insurance company you're with and they will not cover a metal roof. So that would be my only other thought, if I can spit it out, is to check. I don't think that'll be an issue for most companies anymore, but we have heard of that in the past. So, okay, the next one. Is it a bad idea to buy a house on contract? No, not necessarily. If you have a good attorney that writes up a contract and everybody's on the same page, you get all the signatures, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You definitely do not want to do it without a good attorney. And if the other side of the transaction is the one getting the attorney to write it up, then you definitely want to consider having your attorney look over it. That would be the biggest thing, is how the contract is worded. Mm-hmm. So see your attorney about those details.
Yes. All right. I would add one more thing on that, is make sure you have a different attorney than whoever, somebody you trust, than whoever the seller is. Like, make sure that you have your own attorney looking over those documents versus just taking the seller's word for it that document is good. Because that would be a bad way to get in a bind. Does Spencer have any good walking trails? That was another question. So, yes, we have McCormick's Creek State Park. If you're not from around here, it's got lots of trails, lots of walking opportunities if you're a walker or a jogger or a biker or a hiker. They also have a river path that they're working on. I think that's got some, like, I don't know how long it is, maybe a mile. It's completed.
Been down, have you?
we're big walkers. But there is a park by the river, and also some walking trails that way. It's called My Path or something like that. And there's also sidewalks in Spencer, and a Y that has a walking loop. Yep.
Trail outside.
Yep. So there you go. I mean, there's all kinds of walking opportunities if you are moving to Spencer.
Yep. Okay. How many times can you make an offer on a house if the seller keeps rejecting them? Well, that's a good question. Your realtor needs to walk you through that process, because if you've made a few offers and the seller keeps rejecting, then someone needs to work on their communication, because that's the realtor's position to help you get a deal done. And if you've made multiple offers and you keep getting them rejected, then I would say have a serious talk with your realtor and say, hey, what's going on here? What do we need to do? What's the seller saying? You know, why are they not accepting these? And why are they not responding to these? Why are they just rejecting them? There can be a lot of different reasons. But once you have that happen a couple times on a property, it can be real irritating to the seller that you keep making offers that may be offending them. And that's not something you want to do if you really want the property. So make sure you're working with a real estate agent that you feel comfortable with and that is trying to help you in the process get the deal done. That would be the biggest thing, I would say. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Robin is watching, so I just want to say hi,
Robin. Hi, Robin.
But yes, I think definitely go with your realtor on that. What are they saying? Why does the seller keep rejecting this? Yeah, you get rejected too many times, and I imagine the seller is eventually just going to say, oh, who's that from? Yeah, don't. I'm not even responding to that.
Yeah.
So next question is, I've lost out on several houses because someone offered more than me. This happens a lot in a seller's market. When I find another house that I like, how do I know how much to offer to make sure I get it? That is a really hard question. You need to have a good real estate agent who knows the market, knows the value of the house that you've seen, and can guide you through the process. I would say one thing is that real estate agent should be in communication with the selling agent to talk about, are there other offers on the table? Is this something that I'm going to need to, where is this property at right now? So you should have a good real estate agent that can tell you, yes, there's a lot of activity on this house. We're going to need to offer either full price or a little bit above. I don't like offering more than full price, but in some situations, if you want the house, you've got to. It just depends on the house and how much activity it's got. And hopefully the seller will be gracious enough to let everybody know if there's multiple offers on the table, to let them all know so that they can resubmit an offer with their highest and best. And there is one, tool that I forgot about. I just keep using the one. There is one tool that your real estate agent can use, and it's called an escalation clause. And basically what it says is, here's our offer, but I'm willing to pay up to a certain amount if you have multiple offers on the table or other offers coming in. And it's an escalation clause in that it's kind of like when you bid on eBay and you say how much you're willing to pay, keep me in this bidding war. So that's something your real estate agent can use. Just make sure you use it with caution because you are kind of playing your hand. So, yeah, you got thoughts on that?
Definitely. Yeah, that's definitely an option. There you go again. How many times can we say it? Work with a realtor you feel comfortable with, that you trust. There's no guarantee that you're ever going to get a property because there's all kinds of people wanting to buy. But if you know that your realtor is looking out for your own good, then all you can do is give it your best shot and see what happens. And that's kind of the market we're in. You know, you get somebody you're comfortable working with. Be completely honest with your realtor. Believe me, they're not one to take advantage of you at all if they're good. They want to help you get the property you want. So if you're completely upfront and honest with them, and lay your cards out on the table and say, here's where I'm at, then they should work all they can work to try to get that transaction done for you. Yeah. And if it doesn't happen, then evidently it wasn't meant to be and you move on to the next one. But that's really the only way that you have a good shot of getting a property, especially when there's multiple offers on the table.
Yeah. And Robin said, wouldn't that escalation clause set you up to pay more? And yes, it can potentially set you up to pay more. The thing is with that clause is that the listing agent, the selling, has to have documentation that they had another offer come through that made that escalation clause go into effect. So they can't just say, yeah, we had lots of offers, now you have to pay the highest amount you've said. They have to have documentation that they had different offers come in, and therefore the escalation clause came into effect. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is kind of like playing your hand. It's not always the best setup, especially if you're not sure about the listing agent that you're dealing with. So yes.
Okay, Roman just asked, where is the market at? Is it a seller or a buyer's market? It's definitely a seller's market still, mm-hmm. because we have a lot more buyers than we do sellers at this point. And it's definitely a place to where if you find the property you want, more than likely you're really gonna have to work at getting that property. It's not gonna be you're the only mm-hmm. one making an offer. Yes. Usually there's more than one. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
Definitely. Okay, now we're ready to move on to our highlighted listings. And our first one, we do not have a picture of. I'm just going to explain it. It's a property that I listed on Beach Church Road, and it's already contingent. This just goes to show you how these properties go. It was actually a nice little place. It was 4.96 acres with just a little block home on there that was completely gutted, needed redone, and had a little pond on it. A nice little mixture of woods and field, and the home was sitting close to the road, had a well and septic, and we listed it at 44.9, and it's already got an accepted offer on at this point. So that was definitely an interesting one, and hopefully we get more of those this summer, because those are the kind you like, with a little bit of acreage, a well and a septic on there. And then a building you can use if you want to. If not, you can build your own or that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. that one has already got an accepted offer. What's the next one?
The next one is Steinsville. I have a picture of that one. It's 8212 North Market Street in Steinsville. Right there. I think it's in the heart of Steinsville.
Yep.
And it's got two bedrooms, one bath, 1,700 square feet on the main level, plus a basement. So you got plenty of room there for whatever you want to do. And it's listed for $99,000. Really a great, great starter home or ending home or middle home, just about any type of home. it's just a great buy there in Steinsville.
Okay, the next one is on Johnson Road. It's 613 Johnson Road. This is a nice little in-ground home. It's not big, but it's a little home. It's just a little bit over 1,000 square feet, 1,023. It's got a nice living room, kitchen, and then a master bedroom in the front with a bathroom, and what they're using as a little bedroom in the back corner of the house also. It does have a well and septic also on it. So it's a nice little piece of property. They only have it listed at 89.9, and it is just a touch under an acre. So this is something, if you need a starter home that's not real big and you just want, you know, a little bit to take care of but not a bunch of yard, this would be one to look at. 89.9 for just a little bit under an acre and 1,000 square foot home, just a touch over that. So,
and then the last property we've got is located on South U.S. Highway 231. It's just outside the Spencer limits. It's got three beds, two baths, and then it's got two-car garages. One is attached, and then one is detached. And it's listed, it was actually listed for higher than that, and we have just reduced the price to $230,000. So it's a great, great buy right there, just outside of Spencer. It's got a well and a septic. And then on the back side of this house, which you can't see in the picture, is a in-ground pool. And it was kept up till a couple years ago. So I think it's in working condition, but you want to check this house out.
Definitely. All right. We got anything else we want to talk about before we go to our ending quotes for the day?
No, I don't think so. We are doing that drawing, just so you know. We've got a contest going on for the next month. It's about a month, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. So in July, we'll be doing a drawing. And if you want to participate, there's a post on our Facebook page. There's also some flyers out here at our office to get some extra entries into the giveaway. You come out to our office, there's a little box by our concrete pavilion that you can check out.
There you go. All right, so our ending quote of the day, I'll do mine first.
Okay.
The future is created by what you do today, not tomorrow, by Robert Kiyosaki. So don't put off till tomorrow all the things you can do today.
That's good. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Mine is by Bill Watterson. Bill Watterson. I just realized, isn't that the guy that did Calvin and Hobbes? Didn't he do the Calvin and Hobbes?
I don't know. Comics? You should know that. You knew all about Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was. Well, okay. Well, anyway, we don't know. That might be him. Might not be. But this was a good quote. It said, "We're so busy watching out for what's just ahead of us that we don't take time to enjoy where we are." That goes along with Trent's quote.
Oh,
so
that's true.
Do what you can today and enjoy the now, the today.
There you go.
Don't always be looking for the future.
That's right. And if you want to really enjoy the day, tell your friends and family to watch our live video.
That's right. Yeah. And
they can really enjoy the day.
That's right. And if you guys get bored, you can come out to our real estate office anytime. And peruse all of our buildings out here that we've got for sale, and you can talk to us. We're here just to talk to you. So,
or if you're not in the mood to talk, you can go to thatshedplace.com and look at them online.
Yeah, there
but
you go.
You really ought to be social and come talk to us.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yeah. Don't social distance from us. Well, you can, but I mean, you know, we'll still say six feet apart if you want, but.
Tuning in. I'm Trent Keith.
Yep, and I'm Ethan McNeil. See you guys next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening. I hope you learned something new. If you have some of your own questions you'd like to ask us, then please send an email to questions@keithrealty.net. That's questions@keithrealty.net. And we'll see if we can't answer your questions on our next show. See you next time.